Our text this morning is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Just the other day, I saw a headline from the Wall Street Journal. The headline was, "The New Science on Making Healthy Habits Stick." Doesn't this sound wonderful? Finally, I'll have a way to get myself to eat the correct foods, avoid eating the wrong foods, be disciplined about getting a healthy amount of sleep, and making sure I'll exercise regularly. I did not end up reading the article, probably because I would have had to pay for it, but also because this seems to be just the latest in a long line of self-improvement literature that ends up oftentimes promising more than it can deliver. Indeed, especially in America, the rhetoric of self-improvement through reshaping habits has a long history. Just a few weeks ago in English 11, we studied Ben Franklin's autobiography, in which he has a plan for improving his habits by tackling 13 different virtues, focusing on one virtue each week. The same impulse as well, though, can be seen in more recent books such as Charles Duhigg's The Power of Habit or James Clear's Atomic Habits. While these books may be useful in providing some systems or tips, they fail to recognize that the struggle against bad habits can never fully be won because of our sinful nature. Furthermore, since they're written from a secular viewpoint, they leave out what Paul describes as the renewing power of the gospel. In the video in which he advocates for everyone to improve by 1% each day, James Clear notes, everybody wants a transformation. Indeed, we are tempted daily through our own bad habits to be conformed to this world and its sinful ways. But we can remember that we have been transformed through faith, and that the Holy Spirit will produce in us the fruits of faith. One helpful thing that we can learn from focusing on our habits is what Clear calls noticing. Recognizing how behaviors that we once made as conscious choices now have been ingrained habits that we don't even know we're doing. We can measure this by who we spend time with, what we spend time on, and what we spend time doing. As Clear says, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you become. We see this negative progression clearly in Psalm 1. First, someone walks with the ungodly, then stands in the path of sinners, and then finally sits in the seat of the scornful. Psalm 1, written roughly 3,000 years ago, clearly articulates what authors like Clear are now, only now, discovering through behavioral psychology, that systems and physical environments are crucial in creating habit-forming behavior, either for good or for ill. If we know, for example, that if we sit with a certain group of people over lunch, that we always end up gossiping about other people, one way to remove ourselves from this habit would be to sit with other people or plan to have different topics of conversation. If we know that when we go out with a certain group of friends over the weekend that bad choices are inevitably made, then we need to change that environment or find a new one. Or even individually, if we know that when we watch particular shows, movies, or social media feeds, that afterwards we are angry or use foul language or have impure thoughts, then we need to find ways to take those temptations out of our regular routine. Delete the apps, find alternative activities or things to watch or read, or find a friend to help you be accountable. The fact is, though, that no matter how aware we are of our bad behaviors, we'll never be able to solve them through our own devices and methods. The solution, as Psalm 1 itself describes, is to immerse ourselves in God's Word. The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Once we are rooted in God's word, then the Holy Spirit brings forth the fruits of faith, and whatever we do shall prosper. So the word and the sacraments are what transform us and keep us from conforming to the world. But our sinful flesh naturally neglects hearing and learning God's word. It's hard for us to form this habit. Here at ILC, we're blessed with having morning or evening chapel or both daily, as well as a church close to us. These structured times and places help us to immerse ourselves in God's word. Yet, once you leave ILC, especially if you move to a place with no church, CLC church nearby, it becomes more difficult to find that discipline to attend church, not only to hear the word, but to encourage and to be encouraged by fellow Christians. Indeed, the one time that I could find habit used in the Bible has to do with this topic, Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We can prepare for the days when we don't have regular chapel or perhaps even a local church by prioritizing our individual study of the word. James Clear recommends that if you really want to do something more, make it visible. If you want to read the Bible more, put the Bible right on your bed so you're minded to read it at night. Keep a devotion book at your desk so you can have easy access to it. Download a Bible app on your phone or include sermons or devotions on your podcast streams so that they're visible and easily accessible. This weekend we'll be celebrating the Reformation, but this year also marks the 500th anniversary of Luther's translation of the first five books of the Old Testament. What a great gift to the German people God brought about through Luther. They were able to read the Bible themselves in their own language. As we compare the lack of access to translations of the Bibles of Luther's time to the ease which we can access God's words today, let us be mindful and thankful of this blessing. Finally, in his work on habits, James Clear declares, if you can change your habits, you can change your life, and that true change leads to identity change. Let us thank God that we have already had the greatest identity change of all. We have been transformed by faith and have the privilege to serve him now and in eternity. We'll close with hymn 416, all stanzas, hymn 416.